Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Christian Girls Pop. Speakers every single week share how they can relate to one of these stories. As we know, the Bible is alive and well, and there's so much that's applicable to our everyday lives. And I would bet that you have your own Sunday school story as well. So I am excited for what you're going to be hearing throughout this year. And I'm also very excited about this speaker for today. The speaker that I have for today is Miss Laura Franklin, and we are going to be talking about the story of Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood. So let's talk a little bit about Miss Laura. So she is a published author. She's also a certified chaplain through California Southern Baptist. She's a dreamer, a mentor, an entrepreneur, a singer, a songwriter, a public speaker, and a visionary. Fun fact, she is the youngest of 9 children and the first of her siblings to earn a higher education. She earned 2 associate degrees in behavioral science and humanities, and her bachelor's of science in human services management degree was earned from University of Phoenix. She's also a certified domestic violence and sexual assault counselor and caregiver. In her personal side, she's a mother of 5, 3 of which are military veterans. She's a grandmother of 3 and a godmother of 11. And so you will find that her younger years were not without struggles. She's a 2-time survivor of breast cancer, a warrior who endured significantly challenging circumstances. Understanding her lot in life is not only to survive, but to overcome. And she has emerged as a strong survivor and is a walking testimony of God's goodness, grace, and healing power. Today, she still continues to exemplify unwavering trust and faith in the Lord, despite negative medical diagnoses and prognosis. Her light shines so bright through her own life, commitment, and dedication to serve and pour into others what she knows to be the absolute truth. Hers is an extraordinary journey, and I'm so excited for you to hear about what she is going to share as we go through this scripture. So, Miss Laura, welcome in. Thanks so much for being a part today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for what you're going to share and the personal testimony of how you have seen God be a healer. So for the listeners, before we get to Miss Laura's testimony, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 43. That's where we're going to be reading about the woman who was healed, who struggled with an issue of blood. So once again, that's Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him, and that him is Jesus. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so, like I said, this is a very popular verse of scripture. This is a Sunday school story that we may have heard of how Jesus has been a healer. And so, Miss Laura, the first question I wanted to ask you, since you have the choice in which story you were going to choose, and this is the story that you chose, I simply wanted to ask you, why this story? How can you relate to this story?
Well, actually, that's a great question. So growing up, in church and Sunday school, this story was told to us, but they did not go into detail. So, but now as an adult, how this relates to me is when I go back, and I'm not sure which version you read, but I have 2 different versions in front of me. I have Life Application as well as King James. And being a 2-time cancer survivor, looking at verse 43, you know, the scripture says she's having a flow of blood for 12 years, and that's a long time to bleed, right? And, you know, some theologians believe it could have been her menstrual cycle. And of course, it doesn't tell you that, but just as women, that's what we think about. And she had spent all she had, you know, on doctors, but nobody could heal her. But how it relates to me as far as why I chose it is because when I was diagnosed, or before I was diagnosed, even though I was married, I was still kind of hanging out with folks that I didn't need to hang out with, right? And it, you know, just I had reminders of, you know, when you get married, you need to hang with married people. But I still had a lot of single friends, and those single friends in particular, just, you know, they did what single people do. They were all over the place and going to clubs and different things. Even though I wasn't a clubber or a drinker, I still wanted to just hang out with them. And then I wasn't doing everything I needed to do as a Christian woman. I wasn't reading my Bible every day like I'm supposed to. I wasn't praying and spending my quiet time every day. And so just equating that, you know, for a long time, although my issue was not 12 years, there was a long time when I wasn't healthy, put it that way. And so if this woman, you know, she's bleeding for 12 years, obviously she's not healthy. And so when I think about it, when I go back to, you know, so when she was trying to get through the crowd, she was going behind him, right? So sometimes when we're either caught up or something's going on with us, we can't face it head on. So why would she come up from behind him versus coming straight to his face saying, "Master, I need healing," versus kind of creeping up behind him, if you will, and touching the hem of his garment? But she had enough faith to know, if I could just get to Jesus, you know, I'll be healed. And with me going back as far as like my cancer, again, it says she tried for years, right? Trying different physicians. And when I was diagnosed the first time, I assumed whatever treatment I went through at that time was going to work. And I had been going to doctors as well, a lot of doctors, and the cancer was still there. And so then in my second diagnosis, I had a much more traumatic experience, but also had a much more spiritual experience. So it stuck out to me. And I kind of had that thought, if I could just allow Jesus to touch me or to meet, because I couldn't physically get to him, right? Like she did in that time. But if he could just, you know, place his hands on me and just heal me of whatever it is, because obviously in my brain, I said it was obviously something I didn't learn the first time. So that's why the cancer came back. And this is, again, only my own personal testimony. So this is not to, for those who may listen to this, think that they got cancer again because they've done something wrong. You know, I don't want them to think that. But for me, it had to get my attention because I knew I was still not doing everything I needed to do. So that was my quote unquote 12-year issue. And so when the cancer came back the second time, it was much more traumatic, as I said. And I literally felt the hand of the Lord literally heal my body from top to bottom. The hands, I could literally feel the hands working on me in the areas of where the cancer was, where cancer possibly could have been. I had never experienced such a spiritual massage, never in my life. And so, and what's crazy is that, you know, I know people, if people have never been touched by the Lord, like literally felt the hand of God on you, it's hard to explain. But if I could use this without giving too much thought to the actual title of the movie, but in this movie where the man reaches in because his lady friend had been shot, and he reaches in to pull the bullet out so that she'll live, that's literally what the hand of God did to me. Literally went inside reached in and fixed my quote unquote, my issue of where the cancer was, where they, where the doctors probably thought they got it all. And, but God got it all. And I felt that, I literally felt that I was awake for the whole thing. And so just knowing that my issue had been healed at that particular time, it just made me feel like, for one, he heard me, that he really did, that the Lord really did know my heart. And he really did know I wanted, I'm tired of playing games, you know? And so this is how she sticks out to me, you know, that's why I chose this, because the healing starts from within and then it reflects on the outside. So, and so that's how I can relate to that. I mean, I probably went on a rabbit trail, but I was trying to make it make sense.
No, and I appreciate that. That definitely does make sense. And, I thank you for sharing that. And I love, just how real God became for you in that moment, as like you said, where you got to just really just feel the hand of God. And sometimes if you've never experienced supernatural healing, then, you know, it can sound like, what do you mean? I've never heard something like that. But God is definitely so real, and still everything that he's been in the Bible, he is still all of that. So if he's done miracles in the Bible, he can still do that. And I love hearing healing stories such as yours. And I've experienced my own healing as well. Some people, if they follow me on social media or something, they may know. But for 24 years, I had a chronic heart condition. And there's so much that goes into the story. But the gist of it is that I was told that I wouldn't live past 3 weeks. And there was just no hope on the doctor's end. But there was praying, saints everywhere. And here we are. And, you know, even though I made it past that diagnosis, I still struggled a lot in life. And there was quite a few health scares and hospital visits and all kinds of other stuff. But I remember when God healed my body, it was at a women's conference. And I remember when God healed my body, like, it was just such a powerful overtaking of his presence. But it was just so peaceful too. And it was something that I had never experienced. And I've had him heal my body several times from other health issues. Mm-hmm. But some of those, I didn't necessarily feel anything. It was just like, I would go to the doctor and they were like, oh, we thought it was cancer, but it wasn't. Or I had a couple different situations like that. But that time I remember it just, it was so powerful. And I knew, man, something is different, just like you said, like I feel God's hand. And
you know,
I'm sorry, so, you can go.
No, but like you said, you know, it was different, and different it's hard to say the word different, but it was, you can't put a word on it, you can't really describe it, because in the moment when the healing was taking place, it was as if time stopped, but at the same time was moving, because to my left I could still see some of the nurses, and they were walking in slow motion. But, and all the while, these angels and just working on my body, some were on my feet, massaging my legs. One was up top working on my breast. The one that had been removed, it wasn't even there. So I'm like, well, what's going on? Right. So, and on the other breast, and there was nothing even wrong with the other breast, but there may have been something that I don't know about. And then they went down to my stomach area, because that was also some other things that were going on there. So it was just, like you say, it was different. I can't think of a better word than different, but it was, I mean, when supernatural healing takes place, you just can't put, you can't describe it. It really is indescribable, because you just have to experience it. And man, you know, again, even now, all this time later, it's still wows me.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like different is just the best word that we can come up with, but it's like way better than different. But yes, and I love sharing stories like this, because so many times people don't hear stories like this. Or maybe people will say, like, God healed my body, but they just kind of like, oh, okay, girl. But it's like, no, I promise y'all, I'm not playing. Like, this is really what happened. And I remember even after I returned to work, after sharing on social media and stuff that my body had been healed. And it was interesting seeing their reactions. Like, they were excited, but they still were just kind of like, I don't understand what you mean, you know, like, and I wish more people would experience healing and just to really know that God is a healer today. And I can't answer all the questions as to why things happen and why some people don't get healed in the way that we want here on earth, or why it took 24 years for me to get my healing. I don't have those answers. But I do know that when God chooses to heal, he does. And it's amazing and it's glorious and it's undoubtedly him. You won't, there was, I mean, the doctor had given me a diagnosis for my heart. They told me in the next, you know, 10, 20 years, oh, you probably need surgery. And until then, you just have physical limitations. There's not much that else that we can really do. So I was just kind of stuck with these symptoms and with this struggle and just trying to make do with it every day. But God stepped in and he chose when it was time. I've obviously been praying about this my entire life. And at some point, I'll be honest, I kind of just accepted that this is, you know, this is what's going to be. And I tend to wonder, if we're going back to the scripture here, if she had gotten to that point too. Because if we look at Luke chapter 8, verse 43, it talks about how she had spent all of her living. She spent all her money. She has exhausted all of her resources going to these doctors, and she couldn't be healed. So at some point, the human side of you kicks in and you just say, okay, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. And we also have to think about the traditions and culture at the time. And so this is not listed in scripture, but we know it if you study more in depth. When you are, for women, when they were on their menstrual cycle, they had to be away anyway. You were already marked as unclean.
Right.
And so for her, that was 12 years of isolation, not just a disease or some type of disorder in her body, but that's also isolation for 12 years. And what do you do? You know, I can't even imagine the thoughts that she had and what she was just, the mental state that she was in. And so this just shows you how, here's that word again, how different Jesus was.
For her
to decide, there must be something that he can do. Somebody has, the word has gotten around, word has spread. Maybe someone else somehow got the word to her and said, hey, I know that such and such got their body healed from something. And she's like, oh, I know they've been struggling for a long term. Or maybe she heard about the lepers who were healed and she knew, man, they're in the same boat I am, because the lepers were also seen as unclean, also isolated from the rest of the town. So whatever was said to her, something clicked in her brain when she realized, if I just touch him, something will change. And man, that just shows the power of God. And it gives us hope when we feel like there is no more hope, or you know, the doctors have given their final diagnosis, or they're saying there's nothing you can do. They've spoken an ill word over you. This scripture and your testimony and my testimony and the others around the world who have been healed by God, it's a testimony that it's not over till God says it's over, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, again, those verses that stuck out to me, again, the 12 years that we know, that number 12 disciples, the 12 tribes, you know, that's all significant. And verse 44, how she, like I said, how she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. That's in the King James Version. But the in the Life Application Version, it says here that she came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately the bleeding stopped. And again, since she came from behind, again, usually, you know, when you're desperate, you want to look people in the face and like, I need help. But she came from behind, because again, being feeling unclean in that time, she just needed to, she didn't want to be seen, maybe a little embarrassed about her situation, you know. So she just let me just get the fringe. And if you've ever seen a skirt or a bedspread that has something like a thread hanging from somebody's skirt and you want to pull it, that's all she touched. She had enough faith to know if I can just get that thread that's dangling right there at the bottom, that I'll be whole, I'll be healed. And she was. And what was crazy is that once he told her she was healed, she didn't even realize she had been healed until he told her. And then sometimes, just again, with life and circumstances, we didn't got our healing, but we're still feeling like we're still sick, or we're living like we're still sick, which also delays our progress in ministry work, or just our progress in general. It's like, man, you've been healed from that. I can walk. Oh, I didn't know I could walk, because you could have ran a long time ago. But sometimes we don't believe it until somebody says it. But going back to what you said about that supernatural healing, you know, once you feel that hand versus somebody saying what they say, when you feel that hand inside your body doing what it's doing, then you know it was nobody but God. I am healed. I'm good. Let's roll. But at the time, because again, she was still, and she came, she was shaking. She was still kind of like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, 'cause that's a long time to bleed. I don't, whether it was her menstrual, whatever it was, that's a long time to be suffering and to be, like you said, isolated. No friends, you know, the ladies next door won't even come over. Mm-hmm. Your home will text you because, you know, or whatever. Even now, like if you've been doing something for 12 years and it's a huge hindrance like that, people tend to run away from you, even just in today's time. People, you kind of out of sight, out of mind. So yeah, like you said, you know, the depression, you know, the anxiety, all the, you know, all the stuff that comes with human isolation. And until he said, go, your faith has made you whole, then she went running and skipping and jumping. But when the healing happened immediately, she still was not aware, because she was probably, I'm just guessing in my human brain, she's probably still thinking, I'm just going to still be here, but at least I tried. So
yeah. And I think something that stuck out to me about her, because you said, like, what stuck out to you was for her touching for him from behind. I think for me it was just the fact that she was in a crowd in general. And you know, I've heard different sermons preached about this and just how desperate she was for her to get her healing. Like, she knew she was basically breaking the rules of tradition and the norms of society by her going and being in public. Essentially, she was breaking the quote-unquote law, and she was just so desperate for a touch. And I know what that's like. Like, I've been to all the doctors and tried all the things and nothing works, and I've just decided, like, man, I guess this is what it's gonna be. But I knew I had the faith to say, if God wants to heal me, he could. And what's funny about when I got my healing from my heart condition, it wasn't even on my mind, which is so opposite of this. I'm sure this was always on her mind, but it wasn't even on my mind. And I remember when the preacher made the call during an altar call, like, as the Lord put it on their heart, for those who have chronic heart conditions to be healed. My friends are the ones that were like, Steph, that's you, go. I was like, oh yeah, that is me. Like, it wasn't even the forefront of my brain. I had some other things that were pressing issues at the time. And so at the moment, it wasn't like affecting me in that very moment. My heart was beating fine that day. And so it really wasn't a thought of mine. And it was just so amazing to see that God saw fit for that to be the day, even if I didn't even know. And so it's like, man, when Jesus walked in that town, it's like, I wonder if he knew, like, today's the day she gets her healing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh mm-hmm. man, like, that's so good. And I love what you said just about just the power of his presence in general. And I pray that if someone is listening to this now and they have a chronic condition that they've maybe just given up hope for, or have received a negative diagnosis about, I pray that this gives you faith. This renews your faith, that this gives you hope that God is still a healer, even if it's outside of our timing, even if it's in the middle of our frustration, or we have just flat out given up on it. God is still a healer and he can do amazing, amazing things to where you can have your own story to tell as well.
Absolutely.
So with all of this and everything that you shared, what would you say you learned about God through this entire experience of having breast cancer twice and experiencing the power of his healing? What did you learn about him?
That he, everything has a purpose. He's not done with me yet. He hasn't forgotten about me, because even again with, you know, as women, I'm going to go here in the quick vulnerable moment. As women, we feel, majority of us feel like our breasts are what makes us a woman, right? Like without those, then we are not women. We're not whole. And knowing that God removed the cancer from within and did what he did by them giving me that spiritual massage, that let me know that he cared enough to not only come see about me, but to heal me, because there's a difference. You know, there's a difference when people come see about you. Is there anything I can do? Let me bring some food or whatever. And that's pretty much all they can do. But when the Lord comes to see about you and heal you and make you whole, that I was in awe. And I cried the whole time that I was having that experience. I was crying and I was confessing. I was confessing stuff I had already confessed about. I was confessing stuff for the future.
You was just like, I got to get it all off my chest.
Right.
You feel like Isaiah when he saw the Lord, he was like, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips.
Exactly. And you know, and the scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, and again, I was confessing. I was on my back though. I was in the hospital. But I was on my back versus this lady who fell, and she fell down to the ground before him. That was my way of humbling myself, because I could not physically bow down, but I was still and in the moment and embracing his presence. And I was confessing that Jesus is Lord. I was really saying, Lord, I can't even tell you everything I said, but I know that I was confessing from past stuff that I already did, or maybe something I forgot, and then stuff for the future, because I know I'll mess up. But I was also thanking him at the same time. I was also worshiping him at the same time. And it just reminds me again, like I said, I am here still. I am still here for a reason. My life matters. And it also reminded me, okay, did you learn that lesson? Because you didn't learn it the first time when you got the first diagnosis. Again, this was my own personal part here. And then when it came back in 2006, worse, that let me, yeah, I learned my lesson. You know, I'm good. you ain't gonna tell me again. You know, so I had to, and that's a reminder for me. So I allow that to remind me of what God not only did for me, but where he brought me from. Again, how he healed my body and told me to go in peace. And my prayer was that the cancer would stop with me, not go to my children, my children's children. I said like 125 generations, because by then he might be back.
I hope so.
Right. And so that was my thing. So just knowing that he cared that much about me, and that he's not so big that he doesn't come check on what we call the little people, right? Because of course there's so much more going on in the world, right? And a lot of people get cancer. I'm not the only one, and I won't be the last one, unfortunately. But he cared enough to come see about me and to allow me to experience his presence in a way that I never had before. And I hadn't since then. I've still experienced it, but I haven't experienced it in that moment, in that way, I mean. And so for that to be my go-to, especially when I know I'm probably headed somewhere that I shouldn't be, like, I mean, you know, nothing detrimental, but if I'm thinking of something or thinking of doing something, I was like, oh, you know, and then I get that reminder. Now he didn't yank you out of that. So move forward, you know, that kind of thing, even no matter what it is. And I try to use that for other people. Sometimes I share my story just to, hey, this is what the Lord did for me, as a quick nugget to hand to them. And then sometimes they get it, and sometimes they don't. But at least I've shared it and I planted the seed. And so there's an intent behind everything he does, big or small in our eyes. There's an intention for it. And it's not just for us. And I've been able to share my experience with a lot of people through my book, as well as just having conversation like we are now. And sometimes women in the grocery store, if I go to a doctor's appointment, you know, it just happens. And I know it's not happenstance, because God always has a divine appointment. So I do try to look at it that way and say, okay, this is the moment. So just share, you know, the quick things, and just that'll encourage another woman or a man or a child to say that God's got you. He hasn't forgotten about you. And if that leads them to Christ, that's great. And even if they don't accept Christ in that moment, the nugget has been placed, the seed has been planted. And that's maybe all I was supposed to do. It's just plant the seed, share the story. And I'll never forget this. I always tell people, even if I get Alzheimer's as I get older, I'll never forget this moment because of what he did for me, what he did to me and through me. And again, just to feel, I can't even explain it. Just to feel it, you know, just to feel that hand go inside my body. And when I'm telling you, girl, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the moments when you're like, I don't even have words for it. Like, there's something just so powerful about God's presence. And even if you never experience it through a healing, I pray that everybody experiences God's presence just in a Sunday morning service, in the prayer room at home, in the car, worshiping to a song. We can experience God's presence. He is still just as powerful. He's still just as mighty. His presence will still leave you in awe.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I remember after I received my healing, and I knew something was different. Here's the thing. I felt God's presence, and I believed that my heart was healed. But remember, when the preacher made the call, I was feeling fine. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm in pain and now I'm not, you know, like, so I was okay, I believe by faith that I am healed because of just this powerful presence that I feel. But I remember what happened is afterwards, we're all worshiping and praising and just having a great time at this women's conference and just rejoicing. Other people have been healed, delivered, set free, all this great stuff. And this is when it was basically a test of my healing, because normally once I would start to perform some type of strenuous exercise, I would start to feel the pain in my heart. My heartbeat would start skipping and different things like that. And so as I'm like, I'm just in the moment, just having a great time. And then I was like, wait, I feel fine. Like, everything feels fine. So it was an immediate healing, but it was kind of like a delayed realization of that healing. And so then I was like, oh man, I need to tell people. But I didn't know everybody that was standing next to me, like, I didn't know them. So and all my friends were way in the back. And I was like, oh man. So I happened to be standing near the stage where the preacher was. And so I got her attention. And then I ended up being able to go on stage, share my story, and share how I was feeling. And everybody, the whole room just erupted in praise. And it was such a powerful moment. And I have pictures of to show of us just rejoicing on stage. And that's on my social media. But I just love it because, man, there's something like God's presence. And I'm churchy, so it reminds me of that old school song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus.
Exactly.
When it says he healed my body and he told me to run on.
Yeah.
I'm churchy. So that's where I went back to as soon as you started talking.
You know, you were talking about the delayed healing, just like the woman with the issue. Immediately she was healed, but there was a delay. Like, you know, she didn't realize it, but it's like, but when he told her, you know, go daughter, your faith has made, go in peace. I mean, your faith has made you whole, go in peace. Then she, again, healed my body and told me to run on, you know, mm-hmm. And I can, imagine. I mean, it doesn't, we don't mention her again, but I can only imagine, you know, her family when she went back, the crowd erupting, you know, just her telling her story to the day she died, you know?
Oh yeah.
It's just amazing. You know, the man,
absolutely. It's so good. And wow. I mean, I think my dad preached specifically on this part of the scripture, just talking about how unhealthy her body must have been if she's been discharging blood for 12 years, and just like how anemic she would have been, and probably very frail and weak. And I would say that when Jesus heals you, he does the whole thing, right? So he doesn't just like release this flow of discharge and cease that, but just renews her strength, her everything. Like, cause it says, you know, King James said, your faith has made you whole. So she was, it was a complete holistic healing from the top of her head to the sole of her feet.
And you know, just, we're going to say this because we know she spent everything she had. Mm. He restored that too.
Cause that's what he does. Yeah. I tell people he's a Job 42 kind of guy. So don't stop on Job 41. Read all the way through. He gets all his stuff back double.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love that. And thanks so much for sharing your story on that. And you did mention actually that you had a book. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So yes. Thank you for mentioning that. The name of the book is called I Stuff My Bra. So What? It's a Beauty for Ashes cancer journey. And it's, well, not just because I wrote it, I think it's a great story. And it's an autobiography of my journey, not just with cancer, but it starts when I was little, a little girl. And, you know, for those who remember, you know, stuffing your bra was a big deal. And, you know, some girls filled out faster than others. And I was just one of those who didn't. You know, get filled out till I was 18. So you can imagine. But at the same time, what cancer did, again, especially the second time, was to remind me that that is not what makes me a woman, number one, and that I am whole with or without it. And so when I wrote about the book, most of the chapters start with different phases of different bras that girls wear, or as you start wearing a bra, you know, undershirts, training bra, push-up bra, you know, it goes through different phases. And so it documents, again, my experiences as a little girl growing up trying to fit in shoes that were not made for me to walk in, or in this case, wear a bra that was not meant for me to feel. And so since now that I'm a breast cancer survivor, having a mastectomy, I'm still stuffing my bra. So I'm like, so what now? Because, you know, God didn't heal my body. So I don't care what nobody says about me stuffing my bra. I'm not ashamed. You know, I'm not running from it. You know, I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to pretend to be or have something that's not meant for me. I'm not trying to fill a shoe that wasn't meant for me to walk in. So it can be found on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as the publishing company, which is Christian Faith Publishing. And so, but yeah, thank you for mentioning that. It was as vulnerable as I could get, without, you know, getting too gory with the details, because I didn't want to turn off anyone who wanted to read it. It's my prayer that every man, woman, and young girl or young boy who reads it, that they are inspired and encouraged. And it also kind of changes the way they look at women, you know, as well as if those men who are married and their spouse ends up with breast cancer, or a brother with a sister, or, you know, those kinds of things, that you understand what they go through. You know, it's not just the diagnosis and you're done. There's a myriad of emotions and phases that we go through when we get a diagnosis, from the time we hear the word cancer through our journey of healing, whether on this side or we go home to be with the Lord.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you Definitely made, you know, beauty from ashes, even by just sharing your story through the form of a book. And I know that it has touched many lives and encouraged others. I know many people can relate to not just cancer, but specifically breast cancer. It's a very, unfortunately, popular cancer that women struggle with. And so I know that your words will be words of like a balming oil for them to be, to have that healing. So y'all, if that is something that you're interested in, make sure you check that out. You also can just keep up to date with Miss Laura and everything that she has going on. She's on Instagram at Survivor Two Times. That is Survivor TWOTIMES. And she's also on Facebook as Laura A. Washington hyphenated Franklin. So make sure you check that out. Miss Laura, real quick before we end this episode that has been amazing, can I have you pray over people who are listening who may be struggling with cancer or just a chronic condition in general?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for Christian Girls Pop. Thank you for Stephanie and the ministry that you've given her. Father God, thank you for us being able to reach out globally, locally, nationally, Lord. I pray right now, Father God, for every person that is listening to this podcast or will listen to it later, that they know that God is a God of healing, that he is a God that embraces, he's a God that massages spiritually, Father God. I pray for those who may be losing heart or losing encouragement, Father God, or their peace is not what it should be, Lord, because they are so concerned about the pains they may be going through, Father. I pray that you just put your healing up on their elbows, their arms, their wrists, their minds, their backs, their legs, their hips, their hearts, their chest, Father God, the livers, anything on the inside and the outside, Lord Jesus. Lord, you can do anything but fail. Lord, we are trusting you. We are standing in the gap for so many. For every person that listens to this podcast, we are standing in the gap for them right now, knowing and understanding and believing that you will heal their body, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that when that healing comes, that they will, as the song says, heal their body and run on to tell their story and share it with somebody else, to share the word of God with them and say they know that it was only you. And Lord, we just thank you for all the doctors that will attend to them, the nurses and any anesthesiologists, Lord, any medications, Father God, whatever it is, Lord, let it be nothing but nurturing to their bodies and filling and strengthening to them. Nothing to harm them, Father God. Bless the families who are going to be caregivers, Lord, the spouses who are going to be caregivers, the children who may have to ask the question, what's wrong with mom, dad, sister, brother, whatever case may be. I pray that you give them all just peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Again, we thank you for this podcast. We thank you for Christian Girls Pop Ministry. Lord, I pray that you bless them 100-fold, Father God, that everything that they touch will be made to be a blessing for not only themselves as a ministry, but to others, Father. Again, we thank you as she goes forth, continue to touch. Stephanie, thank you for the connection that we've made. Lord, I appreciate it so much. And I just thank you so much for her and her love that she has for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Y'all, thanks so much for listening in to this episode. Miss Laura, thanks so much again for being a part. This has been such a great conversation, and I know that it will bless many. For those that are listening, make sure you follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram if you have not already. You can find us on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop and check out our website, christiangirlspop.com. And we will catch y'all next time. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.